This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بك أصبحنا وبك أمسينا وبك نحيا وبك نموت وإليك النشور. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى طاعتك خاصة للعارفين محمد أريس اللهم أنت شافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك اشفيهما نكبري وعارفين أريس حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين. All praise due to Allah Rabbul Alamin for His guidance, His blessing, His mercy, and also for all the provision that Allah have been given to us since the day we were born until today. And Allah will keep on providing for all of us as long Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us life in this world. Huwa Razzaq, the provider. Brothers and sisters, we have been trying our level best to purify ourselves by making sure that our sincerity is intact. Whatever we do, we must make sure that our intention is purely for the sake of Allah Rabbul Alameen. Number two, even we are very sincere, we always try our best to be guided by the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is really a great blessing that Allah have chosen a prophet for all of us. Without the prophet, I don't think we know how to perform our prayer, how many units, raka'at, what to recite, because all this is not in the Quran. It's only in the saying of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah trusted his messenger and he command his messenger to do what he want him to do, and then he command his messenger to convey the message to all of us. And that's how important that we must know who is this man, Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib, later on known as Muhammad Rasulullah Khatab al-Nabiyyin, the seal of all prophets. Meaning, there is no prophet that is going to be sent by Allah after him. It's very important for Muslim to have this belief. If not, then anyone can come in the future and claim, I am also a prophet. Then we have a lot of problems. Yeah? But alhamdulillah, all the Muslim who follow the Quran and Sunnah never accept anyone who claim that he is a prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A lot of Muslims today, they are exposed to the teaching of Islam, guided by scholars, imams, alim, parents, teachers, and also the majority. But always remember, brothers and sisters, when we talk about Islam, the religion that belongs to Allah, we have no right to refer to any of these scholars before Allah and the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because Allah in Surah Al-Hujurat, the chapter of the chamber known as Surah Al-Adab, this is the adab, the manners that Allah Rabbul Alamin have taught us how to follow his religion. Allah said, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu la tuqaddimu بين يديه الله ورسوله واتق الله إن الله سميع عليم. Firstly, Allah is telling us, O you who believe in Allah, if we believe, if we consider ourselves as believer, do not put the saying, the opinion of anyone before Allah's word and before the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is all Sami'un Alim, all hearing and all knowing. Meaning, this religion, Islam, is here to guide all of us. Anything to do when you say Islamic, you must have reference from Allah's book, Quran, and the teaching of the Prophet in his Sunnah. When there is no reference from these two, then you know that this have nothing to do with religion. It is only opinion or tradition or culture. That's all. Is that easy to understand, brothers and sisters? Very important. It is time for Muslims to realize that we have no authority to make changes in the religion of Islam, because it don't belong to us. That is number one. Allah again remind us. I keep on reminding all of us. Why? Because on and off we are exposed to so many discussion, and we get confused. Even we have been learning about Quran and Sunnah, once a while we also get confused again. People are saying this, people are saying that. People can say anything. Anyone can say anything. But when it comes to Islam, it's so simple. This religion belongs to Allah. I want to know what Allah said. If they can prove to you there's a reference in the book of Allah, the Quran, khalas. You can follow, no problem. Whether the one who convey to you is your helper, your servant, your driver, just a normal, your children, he is not an imam, he is not a scholar, but what he say, there is a reference in the Quran, then you have to listen. Because the truth belongs to Allah, means what Allah say is true. It can, anybody can convey the message. Abdan Habashiyan, the prophet say, even a black slave come to you and said that this is what Allah said, and he show you the proof, you cannot deny. You have no right to ask, who are you? You have no right to ask. We have that problem sometimes. Are you an alim? Are you a teacher? Then how can you tell me what is right? No, this is what Allah said. They don't want to accept. That is nothing to do with you anymore. It is, you are facing a man or a lady who the Prophet said they have kibir. You know what is kibir? Do you know what is kibir? Generally we said arrogant. But let us listen what the Prophet have to say about this term kibir. When the companion asked the Prophet, now the companion, they are Arabs, they understand this Arabic word, but they do not want to make their own conclusion, because everything that the Prophet said, they want to know the meaning, yeah, properly. Not just they make their own conclusion. No. They asked the Prophet, what is kibir? If a person drive for expensive transportation, wear expensive dress, shoes, is that kibir? Somebody come to this center with Ferrari, you know, like a Batman car, is that kibir? Why he come here and with this kind of transportation, want to show off? And then they're asking. Of course, the Prophet now said about the car, yeah? I'm just giving some analogies, yeah? See how the Prophet emphasized kibir, subhanAllah. Number one, the Prophet said, a kibir batar al-haq. Batar al-haq is a person where the truth is being shown to him or her, he rejects. Because it's against his desire, against his liking. He wants that religion to follow his liking. But it so happens sometimes, there are things that we like, but Allah said no. So he just ignore the truth. Batara haq. And the second meaning of qibir, the Prophet said, ghamtan nas. People who like to look down upon another person because of his color, because of his name, because of his look, because of his race, maybe. Who are you to tell me? A Muslim will never talk to another person in that manner. What you say, if what you say is true, I will follow. I don't care. Ali radiallahu anhu gave a very important statement. He said, "Unzur ila ma qal, la tanzur ila man qal." Look at what is being said to you. Don't look at who is the one who is saying it. You understand this? Is that easy? Can a wife correct the husband? Yes. Hey, who are you to correct me? Are you a mufti? Are you ustaza? You know? Or you want a title? Only with the title somebody can correct you. No, no, no. I'm just sharing with all of us so that we have the right understanding, we have the right spirit to make sure that we are not in the category of kibir. Looking down upon others is very bad. Your driver can say something, and what he say, he show you the Quran, verse so and so. You check what he say is true. You have to accept. He said there's hadith, check Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, is true. It is your duty to humble yourself, to accept the truth, nothing but the truth. You don't lose anything. But when you have the ego, who are you? Then you have problem. Like Shaitan said to Adam, who are you? I am better than you. That's where the kibir start. The book that we always refer to, this is one of the books, is about knowing our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Knowing the Prophet is very important because Allah appointed him to convey his message. Allah trusts him 100%. How can we have doubts about a Prophet? If any Muslim say they have doubts about the saying of the Prophet because they don't have the sign of hadith, we may accept. Because they are confused whether this is the saying of the Prophet or the saying of somebody, and they just put the name Prophet Muhammad said. It can be a false hadith, a fabricated hadith. Yes, there is fabricated hadith. There's some saying that it did not come from the Prophet at all. But the people use the name of Prophet Muhammad. One of the saying that is not from the Prophet, la asla lahu hubbul watan minal iman. Meaning, love your country is part of iman. It's a good saying. The leader should say that. Love your country is part of what? A leader can say it, but you cannot say it, the Prophet said. He said that if you love your country, that means you have iman. What is iman? What is iman? One thing that people don't like to talk about, the Prophet said, la iman liman la amanata lahu. No iman when there is no amana. People don't like this hadith. Because people, majority, don't have amana. Then if you say no iman without amana, then they have problem. many things, yeah, in Islam. When Allah says something is different, when we say something is different. Today we should be in what page? 40 what? 49, mashallah. We did talk about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yeah, the last topic. Allah gave them victory in this life. And Allah also gave them victory in the hereafter. That means if whoever wants success in this life and the next life, there is no one that is better for all of us to follow, to refer to, except to the Prophet. Because he is not just a leader for us here. He will be a leader in the day of judgment to help us. A leader is a person who cares for his people. You cannot be a leader if you don't care about your people. You cannot be a good father if you don't care about your children. You cannot be a good husband if you don't care of your wife. That is how it goes. You cannot be a good leader if you don't care about your people, your countrymen. You cannot be a good worker if you don't care about your employees. That's how it goes. You cannot be a good doctor if you don't care about your patient. You must have that connection. Yeah? And our Prophet is not just here to lead us in this life. From the day you were born, how do you accept a newborn child? It's been taught aqiqah, how to educate the children from what age? 7, 10. When do you start to separate, yeah, the children from, yeah, sleeping with you as parent? Sometimes we love our children 10 years old, 11 years old, still we allow them to stay in the same room with us as father and mother. At certain age, the Prophet said, time to separate them. Why? Because they are starting to develop the haya. Haya means they have shyness. We are not shy, you know. We are old people, we don't know what is shy anymore. You know, we are so open, so understanding. And then we allow that all this. Sometimes we allow our grandchildren, 10 years old, 11, to sleep with us in the same room. I know, you know, we love them. But you must know, when there is certain age, the Prophet said, time to segregate them. Even brothers and sisters, time you have to make them live in a separate room. If not, you are exposing all of them to danger. And you will regret one day. And regret later is not good. Prevention is better than cure. Our Prophet was sent to guide all of us. How to be a good businessman. When you promise, make sure you fulfill your promise. When you said, I will give a good backup service, make sure that the service is good. Not when you want to get the client to join you, to buy your thing. You are so good, calling and calling and calling. After they have bought the thing with you, they call you now. And so difficult to get you. That kind of businessman, once bitten, twice shy. Kalas, enough. We don't want to be like that. Our Prophet is not only a leader for us here, he will be a leader for us in the hereafter. He will be looking for all of us. Yeah? Let us read what is stated here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have many special virtue on judgment day. Yeah? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana sayyidul waladin Adam yawm al-qiyamah. I will be the chief of the children of Adam." This word Sayyid, of course, is something that the Prophet expressed about himself. Is the Prophet praising himself? No, because Allah has praised him. He just reminds us, on the day of resurrection, he will be the chief of the children of Adam, and I will be the first that the grave will split off me. You know, the day of resurrection, all the grave is going to split, open up. And the first grave is the grave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the first to intercede, to give shafa'ah, and the first one whose intercession shafa'ah will be accepted. Now he is telling us about who he is. Now it's up to us to believe or not. If you don't believe, that is what you choose not to believe, then you will not get his shafa'ah. We have a choice to choose. A wise person will say, what do I lose if I choose him? I don't lose anything. I better choose him. Because Allah Rabbul Alameen have said that he is the best example. Follow him. Allah said, follow him. Why am I so stubborn that I choose not to follow someone that Allah command me to follow? And Anas again reported that the Prophet said, the meaning, I will be the first to intercede for entering Jannah. Can you imagine that the first nation among mankind that is going to enter Jannah is the nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Even we are the last nation, but we will be the first to enter. This is Allah's blessing. That is why we were given the title by Allah, Kuntum khaira ummah, you are the best nation. Allah never said to Adam, to Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, but Allah said to the followers of Muhammad, Kuntum khaira ummah. I will be the first to intercede for the entering of Jannah, and I will have more followers than other prophets. And it's true. There was other hadith that the prophet saw. Allah allowed him to see what is going to happen in the future. A group of followers. And the prophet was there. Not our prophet, other prophets. This is the followers of the other prophets. And then there is another group of followers, and follow up with another groups. Allahu Akbar. From no groups, there was a prophet without any followers. There were prophet with 10 followers, prophet with hundreds followers, prophet 1,000 followers. There's prophet maybe more than that. So the prophet said, I think this is my follower. No. Then there will come a time when Allah show our prophet an ocean of mankind from all color, all race. Suddenly you cannot even see the ending of this crowd. Then Allah said, this is your followers. It's proven in history how many followers do Noah have? Not even 90s. How many followers Prophet Abraham? No one really knows. Not even 1,000. How many followers Musa have? How many followers Isa have? Isa don't even have 20 followers. Known to all of us, according to the history, the 12 disciples who have the Last Supper with him. The rest, they have some followers, but they don't consider them as the disciples. Those who are very close to him, they are disciples. It's like in the time of our prophet, whoever lived in the time of prophet, they never meet up with the prophet, they cannot be his follower, sahaba. They cannot be his sahaba. Can be his follower, but not his sahaba. Sahaba means the person who lived in the time of the Prophet, and they met with the Prophet. Yeah. Either the Prophet talked to them, or they witnessed the Prophet doing something, and they just follow, as long as they have met up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I will be the first to knock at the gates of Jannah. And the Prophet said that Jannah, the caretaker of Jannah, Ridwan, will not open the gates of Jannah. How many gates of Jannah? 8 gates of Jannah. Alhamdulillah, we know 8 gates. The majority have 7. We only left the number 7. Yeah, we thought that the gate of paradise also 7. So happened, the Prophet said it's 8. But the door of hell is, how many doors of hell? Is 7. So 7 and 8. So hell have lesser gate. That means Allah left us to go to paradise more than to go to hell. But if you want to knock the gate of hell, then the gate will open for you. Don't knock the gate of hell. You remember what the Prophet said about Ramadan? When Ramadan come in, futihat abwabul sama abwabul jannah, the gate of paradise open wide to welcome the people who fast in the month of Ramadan. Ghuliqat abwab jahannam, the gate of hell is closed, lock, until you come knock 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 knock, it open for you. And that's why in Ramadan you still have bad guys around. People say Ramadan should be a good month, shaitan is not around, so people or all the people become good. Yes, by right we should be better, but sometimes Ramadan you have the worst Satan, because the real Satan is behind bars, but we become worse than the Satan. The Satan also respect Ramadan, they don't want to disturb anybody, but the one who disturb us is mankind, not shaitan anymore. What is important, brothers and sisters, if you look at the hadith, the Prophet is just telling us about how blessed we are if we follow him. Because he will be there for us, looking for us, intercede for us. We are not alone. We are not alone. We were busy running here and then looking for help, but the Prophet is looking for us. Allahu Akbar. He is the best, and he is there to look for you. It's like a leader. Normally a leader don't look for us. He have no time for us. Election day, he have time. After that, so difficult to see them because they are very busy. But our Prophet, he always remember us. He have been praying for us before he passed away. He have been praying and asked Allah to protect us. You know that Allah can send down any azab to all of us. But in the time of Prophet Muhammad, he asked Allah to delay all this azab. Allah can do anything, but he asked with his mercy, any punishment that Allah is going to send down to this ummah, the severe part, delay it. Allahu Akbar. If not, we do not know what's going to happen to us. Fahsha is everywhere. All the bad thing is spreading like, it's like a viral now. It's been spread, it's like a virus, you cannot stop. Now we go back to chapter 4, the noble qualities of Prophet, not only Prophet Muhammad, of all the prophets. The prophets were chosen by Allah, number one. Remember, when a person say, I am a prophet, you know that nobody elect him or select him except Allah. There is no prophet that has been selected by human. If some human said, I appoint you, cannot. A prophet must be appointed by Allah only. He have the only Allah have the right to appoint a prophet. Only Allah assigns the prophets. No one may claim to a prophet without Allah's permission. Only Allah decided who are His prophets and messenger. He, Allah, picked messengers from among the angels to take His message to the prophet. Even among the angels, not all angels is appointed by the prophet by Allah to send messages, except Gabriel. Only Gabriel. From Adam to Prophet Muhammad, only Gabriel is been assigned by Allah to be a messenger among the angels. The other angel have their own responsibility. Angel Mikael, Angel Israfil, the one who blow the trumpet, Munkar, Nakir, Ridwan, Malik, and all other angels, they have their own response. That the angel that send messages is only Gabriel. The prophets in turn took Allah's message to their people. And Allah said, Allahu yastafi minal malaikati rusula wa minal nas inna Allah sami'un basir. In Surah Hajj, verses 75. Allah chooses messenger from among the angels, Gabriel, and from among the people, the kulli ummah. Every nation Allah send a messenger. In other ayah Allah said, wa laqad ba'asna fi kulli ummatin rasulan. Indeed, to all nations we have sent a messenger. Only their name is not been mentioned. Sometime, and some has been mentioned. And Allah is all hearing and all seeing. To remind us, nobody can hide from Him. And nobody can say, I'm whispering to you so that my friend don't hear you, but you cannot say it so that Allah don't hear us. No. The trust of prophethood is a valuable gift from Allah. He only gave it to a few among His creation. He, Allah, knew who deserved to carry it and deliver it to other people. Because Allah has the knowledge we don't have. Look at what every country they have a post office. What is the duty of a postman? What is the duty of the postman? To deliver messages, letters. Sometimes letters do not reach us. Because the postman too busy. And sometimes they go and put in the wrong post box. We always receive. Letter from other people is in our post box. Because they are not messenger of Allah. There's our messenger. Our messenger, you cannot trust them. They just do what they want to do. They want to put it here, they put it here. Sometimes they just very irresponsible. But a messenger of Allah will never betray the message. If Allah said, just convey this, they will convey this. They will never plus and minus. And our, we do not know. And sometimes you see that it is like somebody have opened that box already. You cannot do that. You have doubts, you go and scan for security, no problem, you have the right. And then you have no right to open that. Call the person and come and collect. You open in front of him. That is amanah. I mean, if you have doubts, you have the right for security's sake, yes, but you have no right to open something that don't belong to you. Unless we have given the postmaster some authority, we say, okay, to you, you can open. then he have the right. It's like a husband, you know, husband keep something in his wallet. Yeah. And if the husband said to the wife, anytime you want to get some money, you can go to my wallet and open it. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. It's up to the husband to see how honest the wife is. You must count already. I put 500. And then he said he took only 200 but left 200 in our wallet. That means your wife is not telling you the whole truth. But maybe you forget, you put 4, you said 5. Then there is a problem. Then you start to argue. You said 200, why 300 is gone? No, I just take 200. And you must be careful. Yeah? When the husband gives you that blanket, alhamdulillah. But if he did not give you, you have no right. You have to ask him, can I have 200 ringgit? Then it's up to the husband. Yeah? Anyhow, Allah said, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatah. Allah knows best with whom to place his message. Because he is the creator, the all-knowing. Yeah? Alim. Prophethood is a great honor, brothers and sisters. Please remember, a man from Allah assigns as a prophet or messenger is greatly honored and uniquely favored by his assignment. Or by this assignment. We cited earlier in chapter 2, the ayah from Surah Al-An'am, if you go back to chapter 2. Yeah? This book, of course. In which Allah mentioned 18 prophets. Allah then say about them, وَقُلَّنْ فَضَّلْنَا عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. We favor all of them, the prophets, over other people. So if anybody is trying to tell you that, this guy, we are better than prophet, then you can say, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الزَّلِكِ, and leave him. You don't have to waste your time talking to this kind of people. Why? Allah said so. وَإِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ حَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Allah said, when you are walking on the earth of Allah and you come across people who are so arrogant, so ignorant about who they are, to the extent they are saying that they are better than the prophet, then you say to them, salamat. Kulu salama. Why? Actually, you want to selamat yourself. You say, enough. Yeah? I don't want to waste my time, get upset, get angry, got heart attack because of you. Look at you and then you say, you are better than Prophet Muhammad. You are better than a prophet. There is a statement sometimes people say, you know what they say? They say, if in the day of judgment I will meet up with prophet, he will be very shy to me. Why? Because he thought that he have done so much more than Prophet Muhammad. Of course, he have contributed a lot. He thought that his contribution is more than Prophet Muhammad. He said, Prophet Muhammad will be shy to me. It is very worrying for a Muslim to say that word, that Prophet Muhammad will be shy with me. Yeah, there are person that Prophet Muhammad is very shy with. Who is the person that the Prophet is very shy with? Osman ibn Affan. Allahu Akbar. You know why? Anybody remember why? Did I mention about Osman before? Yeah. Alhamdulillah. For those who know, remember. And those who don't remember, ask those who remember. Yeah. And then after you ask them, you can reconfirm with me whether what they say is the same like what I've said earlier or not. Yeah. There's a reason. You know, there were days that the Prophet was talking with other companion, and he exposed his thigh. No, he exposed his thigh. Only when Osman walking, quickly he covered. And then the other companion said, "Why do you only do this to Osman?" He said, "How can I not shy to a man where the angels, you know, was shy to him? Even the angels very shy to Osman." Now let us look in the other ayah. Allah also say, وَمَنْ يُتَعِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allahu Akbar. All this ayah now, this and the next ayah have something to do with a surah that we always recite in our prayer. What is that surah? What is the surah that we always recite in our prayer? Al-Fatiha. Remember, yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said that whoever obeys Allah, number one, and the messenger, number two, those will be with the ones whom Allah has favored of the prophets, the most truthful, the shuhada, the shaheed, and the righteous. Excellent are those as companion. What do we ask Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. And that is why the ayah is taught, an'am Allah alayhim. An'am Allah alayhim is the ayah that we always recite. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. Sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. The path that Allah have given to the people before us. Who are they? This is what Allah said. An-nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada was-salihin. Who come first? Prophets. Nabiyyin. After prophet, who comes next? Who come first? We thought the shuhada, the shaheed. But Allah said, Siddiqeen. Siddiqeen is a title that Allah gave to Abu Bakr, As-Siddiq. As-Siddiq, it can be you, it can be me, because if we, all of us who believe in Allah, what Allah said in the Quran, we 100% believe without doubts, we are Siddiqeen. What Allah said is true, we said is true. What the Prophet said is true, we said is true. We confirm that is the Siddiqeen. No doubts. We don't entertain doubts after the truth come to us. No. Then you are under the category of Siddiqeen. But we all have been tested. Sometime we have doubts. Why? Why this? When you have doubt, and that's why the quality of Siddiqeen is being downgraded, is decreased. When you have faith, it increases again. Show you one example. Who is the provider for all of us? Allah. If you believe Allah is the sole provider, then why are you worried about others? Why are you worried about the West, the East? You don't have to. You just do what you have to do and Allah will provide for you. Be trustworthy, hardworking, committed, be truthful, be sincere. You have all the good things and you do. Allah is sure to provide for you. Because Allah never breaks His promise. And He said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. It's Allah's promise. If you have faith in me, taqwa in me, I will guide you. I will show you ways to overcome your problem, and I provide for your needs. Who provide for us, brothers and sisters? Allah. If you have no money, brother and sister, to send your children to a good school, do you think your children can have a good education? Can or not? Can. Yes. It's up to you. All these institutions, sometimes they may be very sincere, alhamdulillah. There are some is just dunya. Purely dunya. They just want your money. Give you another example. Government hospital and private hospital. Yeah. Which hospital have more facilities? Government. But we who have money like to go to which hospital? Private. Why? You think you can get the best service? We don't even know. Private, we know everything is business. Government, some business. But generally, government is where they train all the doctors. And the doctor will keep on, yeah, making research. Yeah. They have been guided, but we don't like maybe because of the queue. That's all. But that is the best hospital. And cheap. Private hospital, cut, you have to cut, open. All want to open. Do you know why they have to open? They want you to open your pocket. Yeah, they want you to open your wallet. They have to do some opening. Yeah. If not, they cannot charge you. I'm not saying you can go, yeah. It's nothing wrong, but it's not necessary that you only get the best from the private institution. No. It can be sometime. You get a good one. They're very honest, very sincere. They'll never call you to go for any kind of operation until they are 100% sure with the knowledge that Allah has given them. And they can reconfirm with another colleague. Double check. Have a second opinion. But normally, first opinion. What can we do, brother and sister? You have submit yourself to him. He put the fear. If you don't do it now, anything can happen. Allahumma. Now you dare not even leave the room anymore without doing anything. You have to do it. It's serious. No, it's crucial. Khalas. Tawakkal Allah. Hasbi Allah wa ni'ma wakil. That is our weaknesses. You must have that faith. If you have faith, it's different. If you have faith, okay, you have given me some info. Thank you, doctor, for the information. You have to free yourself and go for your second opinion. But sometimes he don't give you the chance to go to the second opinion. He put more problem and pressure on you that now you cannot choose anymore. You have to tawakkal to him only. Not to Allah anymore. You must have the faith. If I want to die, I will die. Even now I can die. Not because of you. Because Allah said, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٌ. Your death is confirmed by Allah, not by the doctor. We have cases, our sister gets so panicked. Worried is because the doctor said, you have to go through for a heart operation. There's a blockage. He have to wait for appointment, and he was so worried. And when the time come, they open, they said everything okay. Astaghfirullah al-azim. after going through all the pressure, the worry, cutting, paying, and is everything okay? May Allah protect us from all this fitan. Now Allah is telling us, obey Him and His Messenger. Those will be with the one from Allah has favored. If you do that, you will be among the prophets and the most truthful people, the shuhada, as-siddiqin, shuhada, and the righteous, was-salihin. Excellent. Allah is telling us, this is excellent choice. If you choose to follow the prophet, you have choose the best. And the prophet is always siddiqin. All prophet are siddiqin. So you are among the siddiqin too. Yeah. And shuhada, all the prophet, they live to carry the mission of Allah and they die by performing the mission. They die as shaheed. And salihin, the righteous one. We want our children, brothers and sisters, to be among this. Yeah. And Allah says again, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْأَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ آدَمَ وَمِمَّنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْرَائِيلَ وَمِمَّنْ هَدَيْنَا وَاجْتَبَيْنَا إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا. Those were the one among whom Allah favored from among the prophets of the descendant of Adam, not the descendant of jinn, yeah? Descendant of Adam. And those we carried in the ark with Noah, the believers. Those who are in the ark of Noah are believers. Those who are not in the ark, they are disbelievers. Yeah? Whoever follow, they are believers. Whoever decide not to follow, they are non-believers. Yeah. That's why the Prophet also said to us, "Kullu ummati yadkhulun al-jannah illa man aba." All my ummat will go to paradise, except those who refuse. And then the Prophet was asked by the companion, "Who refused to go to Jannah?" The Prophet said, "Man atani dakhala jannah, man asani faqad." Whoever follow me, follow my way, my teaching, my sunnah, he will enter Jannah. Whoever choose not to follow, Aba, Asani, refuse to follow the sunnah of the Prophet. Every time Imam said, anytime this Ustaz said, where is the saying of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why do we abandon his saying? Where he was chosen by Allah to guide all of us. And we ignore this man chosen by Allah, Almighty, the All-Knowing, All-Seeing, and All-Seeing, MashaAllah. Descendant of Ibrahim and Israel. Why Allah used the word Israel? Because after that, the descendant of Israel came in. From who? From who? From Yaqub. Who is Yaqub? Who is Yaqub? One of the prophet and Yaqub have a very special son. What is the son's name? Yusuf. How many siblings Yusuf have? 12. And that's why Yusuf said to his father, Ra'aytu ahada ashra kawqaban li sajidin. Ra'aytuhum li sajidin. Allah gave Yusuf a vision. Allah also gave Yusuf some miracle in interpreting the dream. He's very good. He said to his father, my father. Who is the father? Yaqub. I saw 11 stars. Kawqaban. Li sajidin. That prostrate to me. not worshipping Him now. They worship Allah. That means Yusuf have 11 siblings plus Yusuf, 12. This is the beginning of the tribe of Bani Israel. Before that, there is no Bani Israel. From then, the Bani Israel came in. Until today. Go back to Surah Yusuf, if you have time, read. And try to understand what happened about this Bani Israel. And of those whom we guided and we have chosen. When the ayah of the most merciful are recited to them, they fall in prostration and weeping. Who are those? This is the prophets. The prophets and the righteous people are very affected with the ayah of the Quran. They are very close to Allah Rabbul Alameen. We don't have that feeling. We may read the ayah, but it's very hard to cry because of the Quran. First thing, we don't understand. We don't have any attachment. But prophets, they are different. Allah have opened up their heart, cleansed their heart, and put the wisdom. When the ayat of Allah is being recited, it moves the heart. إِذَا ذُكِرُ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Allahu Akbar. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. That's why the tawakkal of the Prophet towards Allah is very, very unique. They are alone with few followers. Enemy around them. They never fear the enemy. Because they have Allah. Everybody go against them. Some, their family go against them. That do not worry them. They keep on moving forward. Never one they stop. They keep on moving. MashaAllah. Yeah. Allah have blessed all the prophets, of course. And also Allah blessed those faithful followers, Siddiqeen. And that's why we will try our best to be among the good followers. We cannot be a prophet anymore, but we can become good followers of the prophet. We are not their companion, but just ummah followers. And it's not difficult. You must love the teaching of the prophets. His sunnah is something that all of us must learn, understand, and follow. That's all you have to do. If you follow, brother and sister, you will feel the sweetness of iman. Now we have some iman, but no taste. It's just my feeling. I think, inshallah, I have iman. Feeling. But have no taste. That's why the little test that Allah put us through, we forget Allah's rule. Khalas, we forget Allah. We give excuses. But. Just a minor test of Allah, we fail. All the prophet was tested by Allah, worse than all of us. And they have nothing. We have so much. And Allah tests a bit, we fail. Our life is so comfort compared to the life of all the prophets. But still, we are not satisfied. We want more and more and more. May Allah protect us. Give us the feeling of be contented with what we have. Be thankful with what Allah has given us. And so that we can do more for Allah Rabbul Alam before Allah take us back. The prophets were brothers. Brothers are usually similar to each other in appearance, character, belief, and other qualities. The prophets had much in common with each other because they had the same mission. They have to be trustworthy, amanah. They have to be siddiq. They have to be sincere. Yeah? And they should have tabligh. That means they must convey the message. They cannot betray the messenger. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the prophets as brothers from different mothers. Abu Hurairah reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana awla an-nas bi Isa ibn Maryam fi dunya wal akhirah. I am the closest of all people to Isa, the son of Mary." Prophet is telling us, I'm the closest of all people to Isa, the son of Mary. If you look at the family tree, Isa and from Isaac. Prophet Muhammad and through Ismail. Isaac and Ismail are brothers from the different what? Different mother, but same father, Ibrahim. This is because there's no prophet between me and him. Also, the prophets are all like brothers from the same father. That's what the prophet means. They have different mothers, but one religion, Islam. Hanifan Musliman. Prophet Abraham, Hanifan Musliman. So all prophets are Muslim, not only we are Muslim, all prophets submit to the one true God, and all who submit to the same God, all of them are Muslim. Moses, Jesus, all of them are Muslim. Even when the prophet met with the people of Israel in Medina, when he migrated to Medina, and he saw a group of Yahud was fasting. When the Yahud fast? When do the Yahud fast? The 10th of Muharram. So he asked the Jew, they said, because this is the day Musa alayhi salam fast. Then he said, I have more right than all of you to fast, because Musa is like a brother to me too. So the prophet start to fast, but not Farut. It's just a sunnah on the 10th of Muharram. Then the Jews are very jealous. See this Muhammad? They are not happy now. You know? Everything that Prophet Muhammad wants to say, do something, they don't like. So then the Prophet said to his Ummah, if possible, in the coming years, we make a little difference. We fast 9 and 10. Sometimes Allah mentioned to us a great quality of one of His prophets. Like what Allah gave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the miracle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now, what is the miracle of Musa? Where is the miracle of Moses? Is the stick. Where is the miracle of Noah? Where is the miracle of Noah? Is the ark that can save whoever are in. What is the miracle of Yusuf alayhi salam? Interpreting dreams. What is the miracle of Sulaiman? He can control the jinn and the animal and the winds. Allahu Akbar. You remember I said to you, in a time the Prophet, some companion said, Ya Rasulullah, why don't you have this miracle? Ask Allah to give you what He gave to Sulaiman. And the Prophet answered them, Because when Sulaiman asked Allah for this miracle, Sulaiman said, "Oh Allah, give it to me only." Sulaiman asked for that only for him. So when he knew that Sulaiman asked for him only, he do not want that miracle, not important. Let Sulaiman have that. Can you imagine he control the wind, the jinn, and animals? Allahu Akbar. The miracle of Prophet Muhammad is what? The Quran, the final revelation. Allahu Akbar. And we are so far away from the teaching of the Quran. We only read without following. Why? Because we don't understand. And when you don't follow, you cannot follow the Prophet, because in the Quran, Allah command you follow the Prophet. We don't follow the Prophet because we don't understand. That's why when we talk about Islam, this Ustaz said, that Imam said, where is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? May Allah guide us. Ameen. Since they were brothers, we immediately conclude that all other prophets usually had the same quality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He Siddiq. And then, what do the prophet have? Siddiq. Number two, Amana. Number three, Fatana. Number four, Tabliq. Remember the minimums. I just want to share with you the minimum. He is trustworthy, truthful, and man of wisdom. They know when to talk, when to be silent. And also, he is a man who will not betray the messages that sent to him through Gabriel. Every single ayah will be conveyed to the people. That's why the Prophet end in Hajj Wida, when he was given the last sermon, Hal balakta, have I conveyed the message of Allah to all of you? And all the companions, Qad balakta ya Rasulullah. Allahumma shad, Allahumma shad, Allahumma shad. Oh Allah, you be the witness today that I have conveyed every ayah that you revealed to me to all my people. And that's why everybody, majority of the Sahaba at that time, memorized the whole Quran. Because the whole Quran was revealed. And the Prophet have conveyed to all of them. That's why until today you have millions of Muslims memorize the Quran. Because it was conveyed to all of us. From generation to generation. This is the beauty of Islam. And that's why we cannot hide the knowledge of Allah. You cannot keep, oh no, this is for me. And then you pass some only down to your student, and that student also keeps some again. This is extra for me. And then later on, we do not know how. Yeah? Must messages that you can share with others. May Allah guide all of us and make us people who will choose what Allah has chosen for all of us. The Prophet's way, so that we be among the Siddiqeen, the one who will endorse what Allah said is true, is true. We will have to confirm that Allah's word is true, 100% true, and the saying of the Prophet is true, 100% true. We have to confirm that. We cannot have doubts. So that we become among the truthful followers. And we have to defend the truth with our life. And then we will die as a shaheed. Anybody want to die as shaheed, you must prepare to uphold the truth. Like what the Prophet said, you must uphold the truth. In huriktum, au sulittum, au kutiltum. Even you are going to be hanged alive, burned alive, and even people is going to kill you for that, you said, La ilaha illallah, la tushrik billah. You will never abandon Allah in whatever condition you are. Because sooner or later when you die, if you die protecting the truth, alhamdulillah shaheed. But we are prepared to die for so many things. You know, sometimes a woman will prepare to die because of someone she loved, died. So she said, my lover is gone, I also want to die. You must die for Allah. Your life is not from your husband. Your husband don't give you the soul. Allah give you the soul. You die because of Allah. Inshallah, we hope that like how you're united here, Allah unite us in the hereafter. Amen. If there's any question, now we open for Q&A. And the coming class, we'll continue with page 59, inshallah. Sisters, we always start from the sisters. If there's any question from the sisters. Na'am, sisters, any question? Regarding definition of kibir, is it considered as kibir if we compare certain Islamic convention with other kuliyah Islamic talk which is more sunnah? No, it is wrong to say that this convention is better when we do not know. What is better is any area that we learn and the teacher is telling us what Allah said, what the Prophet said, that is the best. It's not the convention. But there is a convention by straight paths is going to come soon. It's good to go there because straight paths is very selective. When they want to organize a convention under the theme Islamic, they make sure they select people who understand Quran and Sunnah. People who will just convey to the public what Allah said, what the Prophet said. This is the best convention, of course. Anything from Allah and the Prophet is the best. But if there is a convention that is so mixed up with so many things, then we don't consider that that is the best. Because the Prophet have said to us, there are only two things that he left behind for all of us. Taraktu fikum amran. That is sure to save all of you. That is sure to guide all of you. Quran and the Sunnah. Other than that, there is no more guarantee. So if there is a convention that mixed with so many things, you know, halal is halal, haram is haram. They cannot mix. Haq is haq, batil is batil. You cannot mix. Yeah. Tawheed is tawheed, shirik is shirik. You cannot mix. Sunnah is sunnah, bidah. You cannot mix. When you mix everything, you create confusion. Why must we waste our time attending a gathering that gives you confusion? We have no time to waste. Let's say we promise to attend a certain meeting, talks or convention. However, if we have more important class, kuliah, that is more beneficial, can we book? Yeah, you should, because you do not know earlier. Then you realize, you say, thank you. I have more important thing to do. I'm happy with where I am. I know that I'm being guided with the Quran Sunnah. I'm okay, enough. Of course, you have to make changes. There's nothing wrong. One thing I like to share with the good brother and sister, some people may still get very confused about, there are some opinion, I'm saying opinions. They said, when you perform fardu prayer, of course, every prayer you must recite Fatiha plus surah in the first and the second rakah. But there are people who say when you are performing optional prayer, you just recite Fatiha, no need surah after Fatiha. That opinion is really opinion, not from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you look at all the hadith, when the Prophet says sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, perform your prayer like how you seen me performed it, then the Prophet show you the movement, that's what we are following. He show you how many units rakat, that's what we are following. And also he show you what he liked to recite. Every sunnah prayer, the Prophet never miss surah after Fatiha. But it's confirmed again, the surah that the Prophet choose to recite in the sunnah prayer is always longer than the surah that he choose when he perform the fardu prayer, because he is going to be the imam and he do not want to prolong and make it difficult for the ma'mum. But when he is praying the sunnah prayer alone, he recite long surah. But we have opinion. When sunnah, no surah. So it's up to you whether you want to follow opinion or you want to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes I always say to the people who are playing around with this hukum, you better don't pray sunnah. If you are lazy, don't pray. There's no sin. No sin involved. It's just a sunnah. If you want to do something extra, you do with commitment, with your heart. Not just as long as I do the sunnah. No, no, no. Something optional, something that you can do more. I show you one example about giving charity, giving zakat. Allah said, "Lan tanalu birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun." Whatever charity that you give, if it's a must, fardu like zakat, fitra zakat, mal, is not considered by Allah as the best charity. What is considered the best after giving that what you must give is not yours. You must give it away. The one that is balanced, that is yours, you are prepared to give again. That is where the value comes in. You understand it? We all do understand, of course. That means you give someone what you love most. That is where the value that Allah wants. When do any option, do it properly, inshallah. Any last question from the sisters? Now, Sister Anissa, please. Pass the mic to Sister Anissa.
Assalamualaikum, Ustaz.
Waalaikumsalam, rahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I just want to ask about solat during traveling.
Okay. Solat during what?
Traveling.
Traveling, okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, if let's say you are a traveler, once you have already have wudu from home, then you can go out, and then after that, you want to validate your wudu, you just have to wipe your socks with the water, right? Okay, if let's say you are going to work, you have your wudu before you go before you go out from the house, you wear your socks, and then you go to work. At the working place, you want to validate your wudu, is it okay for you to just wudu as a traveler?
Oh yes, the wiping on the socks, no, it's not only for travelers, not on the time. Only for traveler it lasts 3 days, 3 nights. For local it lasts 24 hours. That means the morning after Fajr prayer, when you do not break invalid your wudu yet, then you wear your socks or the khuf. Then, while you have your wudu still with you, then you go to the office. Now, you break your wudu in between, you just go to the sink and renew your wudu like normal. When come to the lake, you don't take off your socks. Just wet the right palm, wipe over on the top of the right feet, the right feet, and you wet the left one and then wipe over on the left. For local, it lasts you 24 hours. But you don't take it off. Don't take off the socks. You must pray with the socks. Not only apply for travelers. Only for travelers, it lasts 3 days, 3 nights. Especially when you're in a cold country, they're having winter, that is very practical. This is to show us how easy Islam is. That Allah intend is for us, not difficulty. When you have, even you follow the sunnah, then you have this. When you don't want to follow the sunnah, then you have problem. Then you take out your feet and put on the sink. And then you make people got shocked. How can you put your feet on the sink? You know? Because the sink is to wash your hand and your face. Yeah, because we are very advanced people, you know, very civilized. To the extent that you create shock for other people. You know? Naam, that is the answer based on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any question from the brothers, sisters? Yeah, there are some more from the sisters. Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum, Ustaz.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
About the socks, yes, but what about the over the hijab? Can we not take off the hijab and just run the water over?
Yeah, the Prophet also did allow, according to Sunnah, for the woman who have wudu and then they wear their hijab. Then they can swipe over their hijab. For the woman, yes. But the face, of course, they have to wash their face properly. The other parts, they have to wash it. Only the hijab and also the socks. Yeah, they can just wipe over.
The duration is the same, yeah?
Yeah, it's the same. Okay. Anything that you can wipe over,
yeah,
is the same law applying.
Okay. Jazakallah khair.
The sisters, please.
Assalamu alaikum, Ustaz.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. I would just like to clarify about uttering dua during the last sujood in solah. Because I know there's been dispute whether you can actually utter your dua out loud in other language, and some say that it's against the sunnah because then you would be uttering something outside of the reading in solah. So what's the sunnah practice? Are we allowed to utter dua in, for example, Malay during the last sujood? Or
yeah, anything to do with recitation while you are performing your solah, all must be in Arabic. It's very unique. Yeah, this is how the Prophet unite the Ummah. Whether you are an Arab or non-Arab, when you are praying the Salah with wudu, with Takbir and Salam, all must be in one language. That language unite every one of us. So you just recite whatever you know. Don't burden yourself.
So for example, if I have something specific to ask, but I don't not know how to say in Arabic, can I say like just
you can make it through your heart. There's no problem. Normally, when you recite in Arabic, also your heart must follow. So you are focused. You know what you are asking from Allah. Then there will come a time you have very special dua that you need to ask Allah, but you do not know how to put it in a sentence in Arabic. And that's the time you can do it from your heart. And Allah knows best.
Jazakallah.
This is one written question. Said, mention about Qiyas. It's part of Islamic knowledge sources, I think. What is Qiyas? Is there any dalil that strengthen this term? We know in Islam, they have Quran as your first reference, Sunnah, and you have ijma, and you have qiyas. Ijma is very important for us to understand what ijma stands for. Ijma is the consensus, not from the scholar first. Based on the hadith, the Prophet said, "Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai ar-rashidin al-mahdiin." That means the first ijma, collective ijma, is from the Khulafa ar-Rashidin. Then only you can go ijma al-ulama. We have bypassed that. We don't even honor the ijma that the Prophet command us to follow, Khulafa ar-Rashidin. We jump to ulama. No, no. The proper manner, ijma, and then lastly, qiyas. Qiyas means it's analogy. Example, Allah Rabbul Alameen, forbid drinking of alcohol, anything that intoxicates you. In the time of the Prophet, all this intoxicated drink is from barley, wheat, dates, is known, grapes. Then now the new world today, we have so many other things that can intoxicate you. They have all the marijuana and all this pill that do not have in the time of the Prophet. But the function is the same, to intoxicate you. So the ulama can use qiyas. That's where the qiyas comes in. It's not the name of the product. It's the content. It's not important the name, the label. What is the content? Do this kind of thing intoxicate you? Did this drug intoxicate you? Then you consider haram. That's where the qiyas comes in. Yeah. It can be many other things. So qiyas is something that they must have some basic first. Only because the name, everything have changed, term have changed, then the qiyas come in. People ask you, where is the hadith talking about drug? Then you have problem. But this is different drug. Where got hadith talk about cigarette? Where got ayat said about cigarette? If you say there is, but this is not any cigarette. This is lucky strike. It's just in Quran said lucky strike is bad for you. If you say there is, but I'm taking Dunhill. Is there an ayat talk about Dunhill? Then you better do what you want to do. These people are playing with you. Anything that cause harm to you, the Prophet said, stay away. Allah said, وَلَا تُلْقُ بِأَيْدِكُمْ إِلَّا تَحْلُقَ. Do not destroy yourself. Self-destruction, haram. Is smoking bad? All of us know. We can't deny that. Only when are you going to stop? You have to ask yourself. Is a battle. Is a jihad. Example. You don't get asked, but I'm not taking cigarette, I'm cigar. Then you have more problem. So you have, this is where the qiyas come in. That's how the qiyas come in. You understand that, brother, inshallah? Yeah. Any last question from the brothers here? Nothing, alhamdulillah, none from the sister. May Allah bless us, may Allah guide us, may Allah strengthen our iman, and also may Allah open our minds so that we will try our best to only waste our time learning what Allah want us to learn and what the Prophet have taught us. Not to waste time and entertain Allah for any other activities that is not going to benefit our iman. Amin. Wabillahi taufiqi wa akhir da'wana. Don't forget, brothers, the last one. You remember we have informed you all about a competition for children from age 4 to 5, 6 to 7, 8 and 10. This is a good competition where they will guide you, and there's a present gift for children who participate. But that age group, So it's good for you all to participate. If you don't have children, you have grandchildren, or you don't have, you can even purchase 35 ringgit per envelope to participate. And there's a date for you. Make sure that you submit everything, and then there will be announcement to see who is the winner, and they'll get a good prize. First prize, bicycle. Second prize, building set for children. Third prize, construction toy set. It's a good try, inshallah. Those who are not aware, we inform you again, you can get from Sister Aisha. Aisha, raise up your hands. This is Sister Aisha. He have all the envelopes with them. Do this to help your children, and also help the school here, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.